Welcome back to another episode of the Dark Rum Podcast, the show where we talk about spooky stuff, and this week, some terrible people.
You ready to roll, motherfucker?
That's Ryan. Yeah, I'm Kyle.
I'm Turtle, bitch.
That's Turtle, and I'm Steven.
That's right. Turtle and Steven. Definitely.
Turtle the Steve.
Turtle. Steve Turtleson. Turtle.
All right. So this week,
we're talking about a real motherfucker.
Yeah.
I'd hate this guy with
what
a
I think
passion.
Is funny is I thought about this and I was like, yeah, no. We have time before Halloween. We don't.
No, we don't.
I was
It'll
totally
come out
wrong.
After Halloween.
This is not going to come out on Halloween.
I
it's
didn't
come out the
realize
after Halloween.
Halloween was this weekend till like yesterday.
I thought I had 2 weeks.
Yeah. I'm with
in
you.
In my mind, I was like, all right, so an episode will come out and then this one will come out the week of Halloween.
Nope.
No, it's like in 3 days.
Not how
days
time
from now.
Works. I was like, I got like two. I was like right there. 2 weeks till Halloween, whatever. And then I'm talking to my mom because my nephew's birthday party is on Halloween Saturday.
Nice.
Because his birthday was yesterday. And she's like, yeah, you know, his birthday is Saturday. And I went, what? And she went, yeah, his birthday party is Saturday. And I went, his birthday party is on Halloween. She went, that's Saturday. And I was like,
yeah, 2
when?
Weeks from now.
How? What? When did this happen? Yeah.
I think it hit me recently when I got one of those things and it was like, vote on November 6th. I'm like, yeah. I got forever. And then I was like, no, I don't.
Nope. I mean, I voted like weeks ago, but yeah.
Yeah, everybody doing those mail-in ones. Apparently, it's super easy to screw that up because like...
I got my confirmation already. I didn't mail it in. I did my mail-in. I did filled it out. I made sure I put it in my security envelope.
That's the way somebody, you're supposed I know to. Somebody that didn't do that.
You got
it. And they're
put
like,
in...
crap, I can't vote now. And I was like, no,
nope,
you can't.
Fucked it up. And then I brought it in. And I put it in the Northampton County drop box.
And why this is relevant is because it's spooky still.
Spooky. Because the drop box ate it and was like, bah.
That's not what I meant. I meant we got two Skeletors going in
oh
for
my
being
God.
A president.
Two of the oldest. Are these
are
candidates,
they the two oldest? Because I don't feel like we've ever had.
Are both older than all three of the previous presidents.
Combined.
No, not combined.
Imagine.
But. Biden and Trump are older than Obama, than Clinton, and Bush. They're older than Clinton. Clinton was president.
They're older than Bush Sr. He was only like 60, wasn't he?
No, they're not that old, are they?
They're
77. And
Biden's 77 and Trump's 74.
Yeah.
Either way, one of them's dying in office.
Well, probably. I mean, they're really old.
They're going to die of old age office.
We got
the first time in American history.
Old white men. Trying to keep running this country.
Honestly, though, if this happens, first time in history, one of our presidents dies of old age.
I mean, that's...
We've had disease and assassination, yep. Not old age.
That's true. And we've had impeachment.
Yeah, but he was still president afterwards.
Yeah, that's fair.
And the other one just quit.
Well, yeah. So... Anyway. So today we're talking
those
about...
Those spooky men. We're going to talk about the man who killed Halloween.
Yeah, that's motherfucker.
So I figured we would start off by actually like discussing like the urban legend
behind
it.
That works for me.
So like the urban legend of whether it was like razor blades and apples, poison candy, or cookies laced with drugs.
So you've
that was
heard
big
these.
With us.
Yeah, we what was it? We what was it grew last... up in our area.
Yeah, no, I mean just like 2 years ago or something. I remember being like, I hope I find weed cookies.
Yeah.
That was like a big warning that it was coming out.
There's
never happened.
There's memes this year that are hilarious because they're like, no one is blowing their very expensive drugs on your little shit goblins. Like, that's... Just put it down.
Yeah,
down.
Nobody's going to spend money
putting
on weed to put
hundreds
in cookies
of dollars
kids.
Into, yeah, cookies to hand out. When I was growing up, they didn't worry about drugs. It was like...
Poison and
yeast. Yeah, it was like razor blades and apples, I heard. But they would never take an apple. It was like, parents, chuck your kids candies.
Oh, yeah. It was never take anything that's been made homemade.
Yep.
Opened.
Yep.
Or like, if the package... Like, remember, like, squeezing the packages when you were a kid to make sure there was
air
in them?
We had to test to make sure they weren't, like, holes in the candy bar packages. Because maybe someone injected cyanide in our Snickers.
Yeah.
So that was... These are urban legends that have been around for, I mean, decades and decades. This guy did his shit in, what, 1974?
Yeah, and this was before that, because this, a lot of it, I think they were saying lot of this came because of
the
Tylenol poisonings.
Yeah.
And then parents started to get, like, worried about poisoning other things and then candies. So, and then, yeah, so he had
these urban legends came decades before this guy. He heard them. What's his name again? Ronald McDonald?
Ronald Clark O'Brien.
Ronald Clark O'Brien.
Good thing I write the things
I
down.
Know, right?
And the dates.
I knew you'd know this stuff.
I did refuse to write the prosecutor's name down because he was only on this one article I was reading, and I'm like, why are they so focused on the prosecutor?
Nah, I don't care about the prosecutor. this dude is such a piece of shit.
Well, I mean, let's also just mention that most of the times it was a hoax, just for your parents to steal the candy.
Yeah,
because I put those all down there, and your neighbors aren't going to drug your kids.
No, they don't.
Like, you don't have to worry that much. You should check that because, I mean, it's still like a possibility. There's always that one out of a million chance, or like someone that reads one of these and is like, "I'm going to do that today."
But this guy solidified the fear because he thought this was stuff that really happened.
And he tried it.
And he tried it.
And it didn't work.
Well, it worked in that he killed his son.
Well, he did do that.
Yeah. He, like, legitimately. So, do you want to give us the preface? Or do you want me to talk about this guy? Because I'm angry. I want to talk about this piece of shit.
So, all right. We'll go straight into it. It was Halloween, October 1974, Pasadena, Texas.
Yep.
O'Brien took his two children.
Texas, not California. The
Texas.
Specific. I know.
Texas.
Clarifying.
It's very important for like the end detail of the story.
Yeah. It is. Yes. It's super.
Because California wouldn't have ended
California that way. Would not have ended with him the
so,
way it did.
He took his two children.
They killed him.
8-year-old. Can we get to that? Because there's like an awesome part of that.
Yeah.
With,
I want to talk
with
about
the protesters.
During the. This is what I want to talk about. Specifically when I was reading.
It's like, really wants to get to the end.
I really want to get to this one part. It's not even the end. In the investigation, there's like four or five things that happened, and then cops were like, we're starting to suspect this guy. And I'm like, no fucking shit,
oh,
Sherlock.
They caught on like right away.
Not the ones I was reading, but go
oh,
on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, go on.
All right. So it's Halloween.
Yeah, it's Halloween weekend.
He took his two children, who I have yet to introduce now.
One of which is dead.
8-year-old Timothy. That is a fucked up way to do that.
One of which is dead.
5-year-old Elizabeth.
Yep, who's lived.
And he went trick-or-treating with his neighbor Jim Bates and his children.
Yes. So it's like five kids all together.
There's four. There's four kids. He gives away five candies.
Okay.
One of them isn't trick-or-treating with them, though.
Okay.
So what is going on is they're wandering around their neighbor, they're trick-or-treating, knocking on doors. They get to one house.
It's important that this guy fucked up so bad in that it's raining. They covered one street. So he's like, this is totally
literally
a good
just
alibi.
His block.
Yeah, right, like they covered like that one circle in the rain. And he thought he got away with it. He's a moron.
So they go to this house. The lights are off. The kids knock on the door. Mm-hmm. They give up. They run along.
Yep.
He then catches up with them.
Yep.
Holding a handful of pixie sticks and says that the neighbor that they were just at came out and gave them to him.
Yep.
That's the setup for his later argument when it comes to going to court.
Yes. But there's so many things that don't work with it.
No. I mean, like, because he didn't see the man and blah,
blah,
blah.
Yeah, it was just a hairy arm. That's what he said. He focused on the arm was hairy.
Like, he made it a Halloween horror story. So he comes up to the kids. He gives one to each of the neighbor kids, one to his own kids, and then one to a 10-year-old boy that he recognized from his church.
Okay.
That was the other kid.
That's it, right.
Now, O'Brien himself, he was an optician in at Texas State Optical, and he was a deacon of his church, the Second Baptist Church, and at this time was $100,000 in debt.
Yeah, which for the time was
closer
to $250,000.
And something that comes in pretty good against
him. Oh, he was also getting fired.
Was he? Oh, yeah, I didn't remember that.
He was also, so he was an optician for this institute. And he had already gotten caught stealing repeatedly.
That's a sign of a serial killer.
Yeah, and was probably on the chopping block when he had all this debt.
And so what he did was he took out life insurances on his children, totaling, I think, like $40,000 or $60,000.
It was close to...
Because one of them said it was $20,000 each, and then another article I read said that it was $10,000. And then the month before Halloween, he took out another $20,000 on each of them, so $60,000.
What he did was... Like a year before this, he took out $10,000 policies on each kid.
Reasonable.
Which is, like a normal life insurance policy. Probably that one was innocent.
Before the plotting started.
Yeah, not thinking about the plotting. Then he started asking neighbors and friends about, life insurance policies. He talked to people about how much cyanide it takes to kill someone.
Specifically, he spoke to a professor at the community college he was attending.
He then took out, a couple months later, $20,000 policies on each of his kids.
Literally the against, month before he did this.
Wait. No. Against his insurer's recommendations. They're like, you really shouldn't take out these policies. He went, I'm doing it. He did it, even though they were like, we really don't want to.
It's unnecessary. Then,
less than a month before Halloween, he took out one more each $20,000 life insurance policy on his kids.
So how much is he up to?
So he's around $50,000 per kid.
Okay, so that covers his whole debt then.
Yeah, but he didn't, or it was like 50 or 100,000 or 40 or 50. It might have been 10,000, 10,000, then 20. Mm-hmm. But then his daughter didn't take it. So his son died. And he's talking the next day.
Well, wait. Okay, let's get back to the whole him giving it to his son.
Okay.
So that Halloween night before bed, Timothy asked if he could have a piece of candy. He had the pixie stick in his hand.
Piece of candy.
That was the one he wanted.
Yep.
And his dad was like, yeah, you can have one piece of candy. And Timothy noted that, like, it didn't taste good.
Yeah.
So his dad gave him some Kool-Aid and then sent him to bed.
He said it tasted bitter.
And immediately Timothy started having problems.
Yep. And his father held his son while he died from the poisoning he did.
Well, I mean, you have to look innocent. It was later discovered that the pixie sticks had about 2 inches of cyanide poisoning inside.
They had enough cyanide in them to kill 2 to 3 full-grown adults.
Yeah.
The one he gave his son had enough to kill 2 to 3 full-grown adults. The other 4 had about altogether enough to kill 4 to 5 people.
And what gave it away was the doctor was talking to the medical examiner and said that the boy's breath smelled like almonds.
Yes.
Which isn't something that always happens with cyanide poisoning, but it's common.
Yeah, it can happen.
And remember, he gave away 5 of these.
Yep.
So, I forgot. I actually went into how cyanide works so that people could see how bad it was for this kid.
Yeah, go ahead.
So cyanide acts fast, and it's painful. The early symptoms of cyanide poisoning are headaches, dizziness, a fast heart rate, and shortness of breath. It's then followed by seizures, slow heart rate, low blood pressure, loss of consciousness, and cardiac arrest. Mm-hmm. And anyone that survives it faces permanent neurological damage.
Yeah. Well, it's a neurotoxin, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
it was bad, and he gave enough for 3 adults.
Yeah.
So I bet his kids skipped the low-end ones and just went straight to seizures.
Furthermore, the only thing that saved one of the kids' lives, I think it was the church kid, but it might have been one of the neighbors.
He wasn't strong enough to open the staples.
He couldn't open the staples on the pixie stick.
Yeah, the police found it in his hand when he was sleeping in bed.
He fell asleep holding the death stick.
Which luckily the police were able to go and find all of the sticks after they realized that there was something wrong. And again, 21-inch pixie sticks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With 2 inches of poisoning in there.
Murder.
That's ridiculous.
His alibi fell apart almost immediately. First of all,
what are you talking about? It was definitely the creepy neighbor that he didn't see.
The neighbor who he didn't see and saw only a hairy arm had a rock solid alibi in that he's a traffic controller and was at work till 11 p.m. that night with, like, 9 witnesses.
And the lights were off on the house because his wife and daughter ran out of candy.
Yeah. So,
rock solid alibi.
Uh-huh. It just, no chance. They hit one street.
Well, how about the fact that the first day they took Ronald out, he couldn't remember which house it was.
Yeah, he was super vague about it.
Then the police started to put pressure on him, and he instantly remembered which house it was. But this was days after the first time. So fresh in his mind, can't remember.
Yeah.
Cops are like, then I think you did it. Oh, no, it was that one.
So how I read it was like, they were like, this is a weird thing. They're kind of getting him for information. And they're just like,
well, I think they always have to, because I mean, in that moment, he kind of pulled a Casey Anthony.
Yeah.
When she was, and she allegedly murdered her daughter, because I don't think you can legally say that she did.
Why not?
Because she was found innocent.
Was she found innocent?
Yes. But then there was a moment where she took the police to where she worked. Just started walking down these hallways in this movie place. Or like, I think it wasn't a movie place. It was like recording. I don't remember what it was for. But it was like a big office building. She's just wandering around office saying hi to people. Then she gets to a dead end. She looks at the cops. She goes, I don't work here. So he kind of pulled one of those.
Yeah.
With the, yeah, it's that one. Nah, it's not that one. It's that one. Nah. It wasn't me.
Yeah. So to clarify, he's now $100,000 in debt. He's taken out
suspicious. He called the next morning at 9 a.m.
the next morning
to find out about cashing
out
the insurance.
His son died in his arms the night before, and he called about the life insurance policy 9 a.m. fresh the next morning.
How about this? I didn't even write this one down because I thought it was kind of fucked up. But like, he like loved the press coverage that was happening for this. Mm-hmm. He apparently did like this song for Jesus and about taking his son to heaven and stuff, and got mad at his family for not staying up late to watch it on the news.
He's such a piece of shit.
That was one of the things that made the cops angry. That was one of the things that drew the cops' attention, was because like, why would you be like that? Like,
yeah, this guy was such a piece of shit. Everything he did was the most callous, least care. I mean, anyone that's going to plot this anyway is already like that. But like, he's so inconsiderate and so uncaring. He couldn't even fake it for a week.
I feel like Texas is like, and most other states, especially now, he could have gotten away. It was because of how Texas is that really caught him.
Yeah.
Because they had almost no evidence.
No, yeah, they didn't have
They
anything.
Had, after, like, putting their search warrant in, they found scissors that were kind of contaminated with cyanide poisoning from cutting open the pixie sticks. Could have just as easily been from when he cut the pixie stick open for his son, though.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't... There really, a lot of it was that he was just an idiot.
It was all circumstantial. Well, like, witnesses saying he was, he was looking for how much cyanide it takes to kill a person.
He was asking people about how much cyanide it takes to
he
kill a person.
He went to places to try and buy it until he found out you have to
buy
5 pounds
at a time. Yep. This dude, like, mind you, $100,000 in debt is talking about what he's going to buy with the insurance money.
What about, like,
so, like,
what
he's
a
not
scumbag
gonna,
he looks like, too?
He does look like a scumbag. But he's not even planning to pay off his debt with it. He's planning to buy shit and go on vacation with it. That's how much of a dumbass he is.
That's what happens with stuff like this, though.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm in debt. And then, like, they like hear a check coming in and they're like, I need a boat.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking people.
So, yeah, his professor was one of the witnesses that testified against him in court. Was because he was asking him about the cyanide. And then a person at the store for that.
Yep.
But this being, like, years before DNA testing, like, decades before DNA testing was a thing. And they didn't have credit card stuff to prove anything. So they really had no proof that it was him that had the cyanide and everything. Mm-hmm. So he maintained his innocence, blaming, like, this boogeyman.
He maintained his innocence till like, the day he died.
Yeah.
I
have his whole, like, final speech thing where he tells everybody he forgives them.
Yeah, he never admitted that he did it. When, like, there's so much where it's like, you definitely just offed your kid.
And he loved the spotlight of the trial.
Yeah.
Like, the prosecutors were like, he is having the time of his life right now with all this attention on him.
Yeah.
And before this incident, there's pretty much no way to there being tainted candy.
Yeah.
So he took this myth and made it real.
Yeah.
The only other time it was real was the Tylenol. And I think that happened once or twice more before the FDA got really strict with packaging rules.
Yeah. That's when they started
making
the seals and stuff.
Because Tylenol got sued out the ass for that.
Yeah.
Where was I?
Where were you? Where are you? Help me, Kyle Obi.
So, and what really put him in jail, though, was like testimony from his family and friends.
Yeah, because everyone was like, no, this motherfucker did it.
Oh, yeah. So, on June 3rd, 1975, he was convicted of one count of murder and 4 counts of attempted murder.
Yeah.
And an hour later, they sentenced him to death by electric chair.
Yeah, the jury took almost
45 minutes,
no time.
45 minutes to.
They heard the case and went, this motherfucker did it.
Like, there's no boogeyman hairy arm just handing out poison candy for kids.
Not just handing out poison candy, handing out 5 specific pixie sticks to the group you're walking with.
And only your group. Like, if he wanted to really do that. No, never mind.
Well, I'm saying, like, if he wanted a good alibi.
He would have had to have given it out to children everywhere.
He should have bought the 5 pounds from the store and then made a bunch of poison pixie sticks
and just
put
left
a
them
bowl
on a
somewhere.
Random.
Yeah. And then everyone could have taken pixie sticks. And he could have been like, well, I had no idea. Whoa, they got the whole neighborhood. But no. And I don't even like that's I don't even like think it like that. But like this guy was so dumb.
I think this was also before, like, this was like everybody was like, oh, no, candy might be poisonous. Be careful.
Yeah.
Like, your parents would eat one or two pieces
yeah.
at this time. But, like, there wasn't, like, the don't take, like, prepackaged things from people at the time. So, like, this was, like, a time when this could get away. Yeah. People now, they'd be like, why are they stapled? No.
Yeah, why are these stapled closed? Yeah. Now, in his defense, a lot of the older style, big style pixie sticks were stapled.
Were they?
They were the plastic tubes that just had a staple over,
oh,
a folded staple. So
I didn't know that.
It was probably packaged the way they did. Now, Pixie Stick had to change their packaging method after this to use that heat
the way
sealing,
it's now,
the,
yeah.
the way they seal things now, because
see, I didn't know that,
the staples
like
were
Pixie
so easily tampered with. I don't like yeah. Pixie Sticks either. I did
sugar.
This in the research. I found out that they had changed stuff.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So... since then, though, there was really only one case of a man putting anything into candy, and it was a Minneapolis man who was putting needles. Oh, that was almost a weird word.
Ooh.
Needles in Snickers. Oh, I almost mixed
Jared's
those
face.
Two words.
Oh no, Kyle! Why you do these things? You can't say that on camera.
Jared literally did this the other day. He said something vaguely racist because he was mixing two words.
That does happen.
But he was putting needles in Snickers. Two words.
That's a difficult.
Not
sentence.
What I started to say.
Yeah.
And one girl got, like, a slight prick, but, like, there's not been a single case in which somebody died after eating Halloween candy since this.
Other than this motherfucker.
So
I hate him
if kids
so
need to worry about anything, it's their parents on Halloween, yeah. not their neighbors.
Yeah. Well, clearly. Most murder is people you know. Murder's very rarely.
Yeah, stranger murders are super rare. That's why, like, serial killers get away with it usually for so long.
Yeah,
because they're the last people look
for. If you pick up someone random off the street that you have no ties to whatsoever, it's really hard to track an alibi or anything that goes with it.
So aside from being known as the man who killed Halloween, he was also known as the Candyman.
Yes, which I do.
He got, like, insane nicknames.
I don't want to call him that, though, because I'm sure he'd like that. I'm sure he was like, yeah, I'm the Candyman.
I mean, he's not the only serial killer the only murderer ever called the Candyman. What's his name? Carol something.
Carol Chaney.
No. Anyway, the Candyman that his other serial killer used to, like, kill little boys and, like, strap them to a board and, like, rape them, and he had two little accomplices that would bring him the kids. He was known as the Candyman because he owned a candy factory.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
People are fucked up. People are fucked.
Maybe we'll do that again. Maybe we'll do another one of these. I know, like, we're, like, avoiding, like, doing, like, real murder stories, like, because
yeah.
we're kind of, like, moved on to being more funny.
Yeah.
And lighthearted, but, you know, some of these are fun. I mean, the research on this was interesting.
This one was...
It was easier to research than Tay-K was.
Yeah, this one was easier to research.
There's
a
lot of information.
Interesting. It kind of thematically appropriate because Halloween is, for us, Saturday, and for you...
A week before this comes out.
A week ago. So, I mean, if something happened tragically, we didn't know when we did this.
No, the biggest fear on Halloween, actually, the biggest fear on Halloween is hit and runs.
Yeah, well, that's because...
That happens every year, like, that more than candy. Actually, I wonder why that's not brought up. People are like, oh, yeah, be afraid of candy. Well, the reality, like, a little kid gets hit by a car every year, more than one.
When I was trick-or-treating when I was younger, and especially in Pittsburgh, they were constantly, like, look both ways before you cross the street. Make sure you're wearing something shiny and reflective. Don't... Excuse me. They're constantly up our butts about people hitting kids with cars.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was a thing for us. I don't know about...
I feel like Pittsburgh was weirdly safe about it.
Not you?
Out here, though? No. Bethlehem, there's like one every single year.
Really?
Every year in Bethlehem.
I didn't know that.
No, I didn't mean that. That was like nervous laughter, not like laughter like I think it's funny.
Kyle was sitting there going, yeah, there's one every year.
No.
6 years straight.
No. No. Four more makes 10.
Oh man, no.
Anyway, so March 3rd, 1984.
The Halloween street sweeper. That's Kyle's serial killer nickname. That's so fucked up. You're a monster. I can't.
500 points so far if we're going by
oh
death
my
race
God.
Rules. Death Race, the original movie,
yeah,
not the new one.
That's so
when it was
up.
Hitting pedestrians.
We're bad people.
You are.
You are. You're the one that's on 6.
That was all brought on by you.
Yeah.
I just fed into it then. Anyway, so March 31st of 1984, it took this long for his appeals to finally be like
shot down.
Done, yeah. Like, yeah. I'm being like, nah, man, you did this.
It was appeals court after appeals court that they were like, no, you definitely did this. And he's like, I forgive you for what you have done to me.
Not
I
yet.
A good Christian
he
boy.
He does not say that yet. Uh-huh. So Ronald the Candyman O'Brien, the man who killed Halloween,
deacon of a church,
all of his appeals, deacon of his church, doctor, sort of.
Do you think he was still the deacon of his church in prison?
Maybe he was the deacon of his prison church.
Oh, he could have been. He could have been like a prison chaplain.
I mean, look at... why is my brain broken today when it comes to serial killer
why
names?
Is your brain broken all the time?
The .45 caliber killer, Halloween Street Son of Sweeper. Sam, he's like a preacher in his prison right now. Yeah. He went and he found Jesus and forgave himself.
He found Jesus.
I think that's the real reason they do it, is so that they can forgive themselves, so they feel okay with what they did.
Well, yeah, they want to...
Not that they care about actually like what they did.
No, they don't care. They just want to forgive themselves, because a lot of the people that do shit like this only think of themselves. There's something wrong with them where they have no empathy or like consideration for other people.
Yeah. So in this time in America, what's really weird is if he was in California, like we were saying before, in Pasadena, by now they would have, the death penalty would have been gone.
Yeah.
Because I think in the 70s or the early 80s is when they abolished it completely over there. Luckily for him, he's in Texas, so they just decided...
Welcome to Texas!
They just said that the electric chair was cruel and unusual punishment, but they'll give him the needle.
Yeah.
So he's still got to die.
Good.
Thankfully.
I'm supportive of this.
The death of the man who killed Halloween.
Guy. Yeah, wow. I was thinking more about killing his son. Look, I don't want kids, and I'm not like a huge fan of kids.
You
want
to kill his son?
No, I said...
I'm confused by that statement.
What'd I say?
I don't, you just said more like, he was killed and said I'm more
not,
like this.
Not upset about him being the man that killed Halloween.
Oh, okay.
The man that, I'm more upset that he killed his son.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like kids, I'm not a big kid person. But like, to hold your child,
so this
knowing you were the one that, like, I couldn't do that to my cat, let alone my kid. This guy's
no,
a piece of shit.
No, you have to be like a real scumbag to be a family annihilator.
Yeah.
And like that dude that would just had a documentary about him. Like, he couldn't even kill himself. Like, what a pussy. Like, a lot of the time, like, family annihilators.
What are you talking about?
The fuck? There's a documentary on his ass. He killed his wife and his two kids. And then he, like, ran away. And then I don't know why I can't remember names today.
I don't know who you're talking about.
It's the thing right now. It was, like, trending recently. I don't remember his name.
John Wilkes Booth.
I'll Google it. That's fine. Whatever. My computer's sitting right here.
Yeah, why do you play around with this stuff? Anyway, this guy's the kind of piece of shit that, like, I wish they broke his kneecaps before they put him under. You know, like, just... He tried... And by the way, he tried to kill four others.
Yeah.
Like,
four random kids just to make it look like he
Well, not
didn't
four
do
random.
It.
One
Chris
was his
Watts
daughter.
Is the one that just,
Chris Watts,
that
okay.
was the family nine.
One was his daughter, so he tried to kill both kids.
Both of his kids for insurance
he
money.
He tried to kill his
and then
neighbor
three
and friends
random kids in order to get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so sleazy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that happens like a lot. Like, when people like want to assassinate one person, they like shoot like a building up.
Yeah.
But Jesus, fucking kids on Halloween.
Yeah.
It's messed up.
And it's super messed up. This guy's a motherfucker.
So I think my...
I'm swearing a lot on this one. This guy makes me legitimately angry.
My favorite part of the story, though, is after, like, during his execution.
Yeah.
So he is waiting to be executed. You have a crowd of anti-death penalty people showing up.
Of course.
And then you have a crowd of 300 people gathering, shouting trick-or-treat and throwing candy at those people.
Wow. I didn't read anything about this.
No, that happened. Like, I knew that before. Like, I've heard of this before. But yeah, 300 people showed up to throw candy at the anti-death penalty protesters. And in this situation, I think those are the ones that are right.
I kind of agree. Like, I'm not like we should kill everyone with a death penalty, but this guy did some...
I think it should be used a lot more sparingly than it is.
Yeah.
But like, yeah.
Yeah, there's some instances... He's a motherfucker.
Oversentencing is a huge problem in this country.
Yeah.
But for this guy, I think he was the right one.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'm with you. There's a lot of times I'm like, yeah, I don't know. They kind of do this. They go extreme. This guy was the appropriate decision.
Yeah, like someone that, like, murders someone in a fight. That sucks.
Yeah.
depending on what the fight was.
But this is a premeditated,
this is a dude who plotted planned, for months,
planned
to kill
insurance
his
fraud by killing his children for the money
and collateral with his neighbors, his friends, and a little boy from his church.
Yeah,
like he did not give
insane.
A fuck.
Insane.
So 12:48 a.m. he was pronounced dead.
Good.
And then I wrote down his last words.
Yep. So, what were his last words? Read to me, Kyle. Read to me, oh siren of the written word.
You guys always make fun of me for reading good.
I'm embracing your reading
what
ability.
What is about to transpire in a few moments is wrong. However, we as human beings do make mistakes and errors. I feel like he vaguely was trying to say that killing his son was a mistake. The execution is one of those wrong, yet doesn't mean our whole system of justice is wrong. Therefore, I would forgive all who have taken part in any way in my death. Also to anyone I have offended in any way during my 39 years. I pray and ask for your forgiveness, just as I forgive anyone who offended me in any way. And I pray and ask God's forgiveness for all of us, respectively, as human beings. To my loved ones, I extend my undying love. To those close to me, know in your hearts I love you, one and all. God bless you all, and may God's best blessings be always yours. P.S. During my time here, I have been treated well by all TDC personnel. That was to Texas Department of
Corrections.
Corrections.
Those were his final words?
Those were his final words, was forgiving all the people that wronged him and sentenced
and
him to death.
Begging forgiveness. And vaguely, this guy's not right. I mean, I knew he wasn't right in the head before, but clearly he's still not right in the head. Yeah, right. Jared, just say fuck that guy. I agree. He's a piece of shit.
Imagine trying to murder your entire family and your neighbor's family.
Yep.
And a random little boy who happened to walk by when you were doing it.
Yep.
And forgiving the people who are mad at you for it because you didn't do anything wrong because people make mistakes. That's
really
what
wish
he did.
Someone had like dropped him down the stairs on the way to the chair or whatever. Like, oh, he slipped and fell and broke his kneecap or three.
So I don't know why I did this, but I also looked up what his last meal was.
Oh, my God. Why?
I don't know. Just
I mean,
to see.
Morbid curiosity. Yeah. I kind of get that.
I found one that had all the prizes.
Was it candy? Please tell me someone put a pixie stick on the tray.
Oh, my God. That'd be amazing.
If he'd been there and it's his exact meal he asked for and then a single pixie stick.
To be fair, you'll probably just be mad.
Yeah, right. He'd be like, I have already forgiven you.
No. Because he had a T-bone steak.
Of course he did.
A salad, lettuce, tomatoes, eggs, and French dressing.
I don't like French.
Fries, saltines, a Boston cream pie, peas, corn, and rolls. He had a really nice last meal.
Yeah.
I think this was before they set the price limit to like $20.
If I'm going to die and it's like my last meal, I'm picking something weird. Like, I just want like a bucket of mac and cheese. Like, I just... Fuck all this other shit. I just want...
They don't do that anymore because someone ordered like $1,000 worth of shit and then didn't eat any of it.
Yeah, they do that.
They just wanted to fuck with them.
Mm-hmm.
Or there was like that one dude who ordered one like, pea. That was a good one.
That was a good one.
If you're going to fuck with them, like, give me one pea, please.
I'd pick something like, you know, I want like a single extremely dry chicken breast and then make sure that I choke to death on it beforehand. So like, fuck yourselves. I'm taking myself out.
Like, I don't know. I think I'd go big. I'd be like, I'd probably want like a steak dinner.
Yeah.
But then I'd be like really weird about it. I'd be like, I want a steak dinner. And I'd order like something that I knew wasn't on a menu at a restaurant, but I want
that restaurant
to make me it.
No, I'm being legit. If I knew I was going to die, I'm serious. Serious answer would be like, I'd want like a literal tray, like one of those, like, you know, silver.
Yeah.
You know, tinfoil trays of baked macaroni and cheese, like bread crumbs, mac and cheese, good mac and cheese. And I would just sit there and be like, fuck it, man. Just.
I'm going to die fat today.
I love mac and cheese anyway. So
you're like walking to the thing and you're like, oh,
it'd be like, God, worth
it. I feel
it.
So gross. I shouldn't have done that.
I shouldn't have done that.
Grease. Mac and cheese is a good one. I think mac I'd do. I'd be like, can I make my own mac and cheese?
Right.
I only like when I make mac and cheese.
I make a good mac and cheese sauce, like some Asiago, some... I like to make a good cheese sauce.
I'm making mac and cheese tonight, actually. Mac and cheese, and I'm making homemade chicken nuggets.
Oh, man, I'm so fucking hungry now. I love mac and cheese and chicken nuggets. On a regular basis, my girlfriend and I eat dino nuggets and mac and cheese, and preferably like the unicorn shapes or like dinosaur shaped mac and cheese. My God. Because the shapes taste better, baby.
No, I make mac and cheese like from scratch all the time.
When I make my cheese sauce, I make it from scratch, but I still get wagon wheel pasta.
Really?
So that it's shaped because it holds the cheese sauce better than the wagon wheels.
I like the not elbows, but they're kind of like elbows. If elbows were stretched out like the long
curly
ones.
Oh, I love
those.
Those
are the best for mac and cheese.
They're not rigatoni. What are they called?
Capillary.
Yeah.
Capillary. Yeah, that's where they store all the blood.
Capivarias. Capababa.
Anyway, so now that we know that our last meal will be mac and cheese.
Capellini. Jared says it's capellini. He's wrong. He's lying.
He's definitely wrong. I do prefer to make it on the stove, though, and not bake it. Because the
No, I'd make a cheese sauce. Look, I'm telling you my secret right now. Use a heavy cream as your base.
I use heavy cream.
Okay. I do like a wedge of Parmesan Reggiano. Good Parmesan Reggiano.
I do cheddar and I do Gouda.
So you do like a yellow cheese sauce.
Yeah.
I do.
Well, I usually do like a white cheddar, but I like the Gouda is like the main thing that adds like a lot of salt to it.
So when I do that, when my salt one is the Asiago, I do Asiago, the Parmesan Reggiano. I do Jarlsberg Swiss.
Nice.
And
so you have like a nutty mac and cheese.
Yeah, it's a cheese sauce. I consider it Italian cheese sauce. And heavy cream, and also cream cheese.
Cream cheese. I've done that, but sometimes too much cream cheese can make it too cream cheesy. Yeah.
You can't make it too much cream cheese, but the cream cheese helps everything sort of blend together.
Yeah. I always use, I know why you're doing that. You're doing it so it gets, like, the creaminess. I always use American cheese for that because it's, like, the best
American cheese does
for
do that,
thickening it up and, like, making it creamy.
If you use the wrong American cheese, it adds a weird
too much funk.
Now, the cheddar and the Gouda probably drowned that out.
Yeah.
But I use, with like the Swiss, the American kind of.
I feel like cheddar's just the base, though.
It's welcome to Dark Rum Podcast. We're talking about recipes. Jared's sitting there going like, oh, yeah, these are.
Spooky mac and cheese.
I like my mac and cheese laced with murder.
Anyway, so enough for a haunted mac and cheese story. That got weird.
Yep.
I hope you guys like that.
Yeah, this guy, let us know in the comments if you think this was a justified death sentence. If you thought he should have been pushed down the stairs a few times. Like,
would you be there throwing candy and shouting trick or treat?
Or would you be there, you know, boycotting the death penalty? Maybe you're anti-death penalty. This
man literally ruined Halloween because the amount of, just the amount of copycats that could have happened.
Yes.
Because everybody's looking for a way to kill their kids.
The best part of him is that he inspired a whole generation to be like,
well, he made
it
real.
Don't be stupid. He made it real. Like, he probably did save someone because he made people more cautious about it. It just sucks that his son had to die.
I have thrown away candy from my kids because I'm like, not that one.
That's what I'm saying. It sucks that his kid had to die so that a generation's worth of kids had a bad example to learn from, kind of thing.
Don't poison candy.
Please don't.
Don't poison your
Halloween phone. Is the best holiday, and if you fuck it up, I will find you.
It's the only holiday. Remember, Satan is our daddy.
Wow, that's a weird way to take that.
Hell, Satan eat pizza.
Oh, you are wearing your Hell, Satan shirt. But it should say eat mac and cheese.
It should, but it says pizza because it came in a box that was pizza themed.
Oh, that's interesting.
Shout out to Black Craft Cult Clothing.
Want to sponsor us?
That'd be sweet. If they just send me boxes, I'd be down.
Yo, include me in that. Down. I'm a 3 to 4X. I would rock your shirts. Some of them.
That's pretty much what I wear on every episode.
Yeah, right?
Oh, pretty much.
Tag them. When we post this, we got to tag them on like Twitter and stuff.
All right. Now Jared's getting mad because we're dragging on.
All right. Anyway, thank you for listening to Dark Rum Podcast. Hit us up at darkrumstories@gmail.com
with your stories. Your spooky stories, please send us spooky stories.
Dark Rum Podcast on Instagram.
And Twitter.
The moral of the story today is fuck that guy, really. Ronald McBrien something dickbag.
Ronald Clark O'Brien. And while you're thinking he's a dickbag, why don't you hit the like button on this video, subscribe to our channel so you can see all the other shows we have.
Share our podcast
with
friends.
There's some nerdy one that he is on. And then
Talk Shonen.
Cool one that I do called Rum Runners.
They're okay.
Jared's on both of those. He's not on this one. He's less cool in general.
And then he's just sitting there
tell
like,
tell all your friends and then like follow this and give it 5-star reviews. And I'm going to keep this going because Jared's getting really mad doing this over and over.
He's
and
not.
If you're listening, he's just circling his finger.
I don't
like,
know what you're talking
up.
About. He's just furiously masturbating behind
he's
the
gonna
camera.
He's going to cut off 90% of this ending right now. He's going to sit and he's going to be mad because he has to sit and edit it out. Anyway, bye. Fuck you. I mean, stay weird. I mean, bye.
Thank you for listening. Have an amazing day.
Happy Halloween.